God, time and seasons and opportunities is in your hand. You are a God of perfect love. You are perfect love. And today, I'm just going to have a chat with these people. I want to ask you that you will come with your spirit and just water everything that's in their hearts. If the words that I speak will come from your heart, and those words that is my interpretation, let it just pass them, so that they will only be linked to your heart, your spirit, your grace. God, we cannot have this without your love and without your peace. And I want to bless each one's ears to hear your heart. I want to bless their eyes so that they will see what is in your sight. I want to bless their spirits to hear your voice. It's not about the teaching, it's not about anything else, God, but to glorify you. And thank you. Thank you that we can sit in that knowledge, that we can be present in that knowing that you are present. But today, Jesus, I want to ask, will you become tangible for us? Let your glory fill this place. Thank you that we can just rest in peace and know that in you there is victory. And we receive. We receive that fullness, that love, and that joy that is inside of you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at the tree of knowledge. If we look at the tree of knowledge, it's something that was given as a warning. And often we read something in the Bible, and it's been translated, and we don't always understand what the origin of the word was. So if we look at the tree of knowledge, it's part of spiritual warfare or spiritual victory. I prefer not to use the word spiritual warfare. I prefer to use the word spiritual victory. Because if we think about war, we always think about backlashes. But if we think about victory, we come in with a different attitude. I am coming from a different point of view. I'm coming from a different angle. So, in the spiritual warfare, I've spoken about, I'm not standing in the gap. Jesus has already fulfilled that. So I was speaking about that, I'm not standing in the gap. I am in Christ Jesus. So this is a follow-up, but if you've missed that first one, don't worry, you will know what I'm talking about today. Tree of knowledge. We know it as a tree of knowledge. Now, I work a lot with the Tree of Life Bible because that is the closest original translation from the Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek translation. So I work a lot with that translation, and you also have the King James that's quite close linked to that. So if you read in Genesis 2 verse 16 and 17, it says, "Then Adonai Elohim, the Lord God." Interesting. Up till Genesis 1, you would have read Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. The moment you read about Adonai Elohim, it is referring to covenant. And in Genesis 2, because it is about the creation of mankind, it talks about covenant. Now, there's a whole teaching, a 9-12 week teaching on covenant. If you understand covenant, you understand why he just revealed himself as Elohim in Genesis 1, but as the covenant God in Genesis 2. So when we read about Adonai Elohim, it means I am in covenant with mankind. I'm bringing a covenant with mankind. And this covenant was not yet a blood covenant. It was just a normal covenant between two people. You get two covenants, a single covenant and a dual covenant. But he says, "Then Adonai Elohim commanded the man, saying, from all the trees you are most welcome to eat, but of the tree of knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat. For when you eat from it, you most assuredly will die." So in covenant, he said, this is what I'm giving you, but there is one condition that you must be careful for, and that's the tree of the knowledge. And we often think that is just knowledge that we accumulate. But that knowledge is much more than what we realize it is. And there is a condition to that tree of the knowledge. If we look at the basic root meaning of that word of knowledge, it says, it is my perception, it is my skill, it is my discernment, my understanding, my wisdom. Why will God say to us, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge, don't eat of the tree of your perception? Why does he say, don't eat of the tree of your skills? Why does he warn you that, be careful for the tree of your discernment? See, we often stand still with our knowledge, our perception, our understanding, our wisdom. And that is the place that we often struggle with. Because if you look at people, this person will say, this is okay, and that person will say, no, that is okay. Let me give you an example of my perception. I was into Dubai now. I was on the highest tower in the world. You move from ground to the 124th floor in 60 seconds. Now, somebody needs to clean those windows because it's glass all over. For me, it is insane to go out there and to clean those glasses. What if you would like to work there? Just give me an indication. I have a guy that is actually in training to do that. Let me tell you how insane it sounds. His daughter is 7-8 years old. He put her in his protecting gear and he dropped her from the roof. She loves it. Why? Because he's fearless. Now that is my perception of good and evil. For me, that is evil to do that to your child. For the girl, she loves it. See, my perception, my understanding of good and evil. And that causes us to judge people, to condemn people. And often, that understanding stops us from growing, from moving forward. So your understanding, your perception, people, even your discernment about stuff can spiritually keep you back from living in God, to experience the fullness of God. Let me give you a biblical example of how our understanding and our own wisdom and our own discernment can stand in our way. Well, if you have heard about Ezekiel in the Bible, the prophet Ezekiel. All right, that man was crazy. My perception, he was crazy, but he was obedient to God. God told him to say, strip yourself and walk around the city naked. If God will tell you to do that, what would you do? Would you have enough security and freedom in God to do that? Or is your perception, or your understanding, or your discernment, no, God, don't do it. See, we say it's evil, because it's our understanding. And that causes what? To bring us into a box. By the third day, walking around a city naked, who do you think were ashamed? Was Ezekiel ashamed or were the city people ashamed? See, immediately it turned around. But it's because of obedience. And that is often the reason why we cannot move into obedience with God. Because we have eaten of the tree of knowledge, of our perception, of our skills, of our understanding. What do you think of all the other prophets, what did they say about Ezekiel walking around this town naked? What do you think were their discernment about those things? I don't think I want to hear that. See, their discernment took them out of obedience with God. So even in our days today, your discernment about the situation can actually keep you back. And that is why you need to be secure in God to know I can be obedient to God. Let's talk about this a little bit more. One of the discernments, one of the perceptions or understanding that we don't have is how God created us. God has actually created you in a cocoon of blessings. If you read Genesis 1, God saw that everything was made good. There was only, up to Genesis 1 verse 1 to 25, there was only one place that was blessed. If you think about it, we don't realize that. God saw everything was good after he finished it, but he only blessed two animal souls. The animals in the water, everything that's in the water, and the things that's in the air. He did not even bless the animals on earth. Don't read that. Only the fish in the sea was said, multiply and fall, and the birds in the sky. The rest didn't receive a blessing. Why? Because God is a God of blessings. Blessings confirms in your spirit what you've got the right to do. And if you start to use blessings on yourself, you give yourself permission to walk in God's fullness, to walk in God's grace. But we don't understand blessings. Let's look at the occultic world, at the demonic world. What is their blessings? What do we call their blessings? Curses. And they use it all the time. So they know something that we as Christians don't understand. See, the more they curse, according to them, it's blessings. The more they function in it, the more they believe in it, and the more power there is in it. But what do we do? Oh no, power of words, blessings, that's just part of my Christianity. But we don't understand the fullness of it. I've listened to a testimony of a man that worked with a witch. She was a high witch of the Four Corners in America. Long story short, you're going to listen to that. But her saying was, I don't leave my house without at least six demons walking with me. But why did you bless yourself this morning? How many blessings have you spoken over your own life before you left the house today? Can you see why we don't make an impact in the world? Because our tree of the knowledge of good and evil is so contained and so small that we don't understand these things. We don't walk in them. And then, because of that small portion that we understand, we're trying to judge other people and tell them they're not allowed to do these things. We need to expand ourselves. So what is the blessing that God has placed over you? What is the blessing that God has actually covered you with? Firstly, he dreamt about you. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let him rule. Now for those of you that walk by the road with me, the image that God made us in is we are spirit like God. Let me throw something in. Your blood comes from your father. The sperm carries the DNA for the blood. The angel came to Mary and said to her, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will become pregnant. So Jesus had perfect blood. It was the Spirit that overshadowed her and brought forth something perfect. Am I right? Are you all agreeing with me on that one? Let me take you back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1 verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And he started to speak, and it brings something perfectly forth. That same Spirit that overshadowed Mary is that same Spirit that created the earth. But that same Spirit that brought perfect life in Jesus' body is the same Spirit that said to the dust, and Adam was. The breath of God that was blown into the dust brought forth perfect blood in mankind. Your blood is a direct result of God's breath inside of you. So God said, let us make man in our image. It was his spirit that not overshadowed or hovered under the ground. You are made out of dust. You are made out of dust, not out of ground. And God said, I'm going to give myself into the dust. And I want to bring forth perfect blood. That is why Adam and Eve were perfect. And what's interesting, if you look at that, the original Hebrew translation actually says, God saw Adam that he was alone, and the wife, while he was sleeping, grew out of him. That is the original word. Not he made her out of his rib, she grew out of his rib. So whatever God blew into Adam is part of me. And I can show that to you on pictures. Like a man's got fire and a woman's got fire. If they don't become one, they're going to kill each other. Because the fire of God is in each one of them. But the moment a husband and wife become one in the spirit, they've got a stronger spiritual fire. But if they don't become one in the spirit, they kill each other. They destroy each other. They burn each other. We need to come to that same power. Become one in God. And that is why if that power is mingled before marriage, and there's sexuality before marriage, there's a demonic fire that comes in. They cannot become one. And it becomes a demonic unity that also destroys eventually. And I can show that to you just in the Hebrew language. So God dreamt each one of you. Said, let us make man. Let the spirit, let my image, my spirit be in mankind. And the likeness is God's moral standard. What God sees as good and evil. And Adam and Eve had God's perspective of good and evil. They had God's knowledge of good and evil. I'm not giving you something new. If we still stuck in Genesis 1 and 2, how are you going to understand the rest of the Bible? I ask, if you don't understand Genesis 1, 2 and 3, you're going to struggle with the rest of the Bible. Chuck Mercer gives a teaching how to go through the Bible in 24 hours. He does a brilliant teaching on that. But just on Genesis 1 and 2, he spends about 4 hours and talks about the 10 dimensions that God has created earth. See, God has made something perfect inside of you. His breath has given you life. And life is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. That is why you cannot eat blood. Because the life is there. It's the breath of God that's inside of that blood that made you to be here today. So when he said, I want to make you in my image, he says, I'm going to take a part of myself and I'm going to put it in there so that there is perfect blood. And you see that repetition with Mary. That same spirit. Then he made mankind. The Bible says God created humankind. And then Genesis 1:28, there's the second blessing. The first blessing was God's dream. Then you fulfill this dream, and then he said, I'm going to bless you. So you are made, mankind is made in the covering of a double blessing. You received a blessing before the time mankind was created, and God gave you the blessing afterwards. So you are covered in blessings. And if we don't understand how to walk in blessings, we actually walk out of that protection that God has given us in Genesis 1 and 2. So we don't understand our own origin. So our knowledge is not about what's happening in God. Our knowledge is about what's happening in the earth. And we need to come to that place that we are actually in God. Ephesians 2 verse 10 actually confirms what I just said. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So everything I've just explained to you is actually in Ephesians 2 verse 10. You are created. The scripture reads very clearly in Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. If you are God's workmanship, why are you dissatisfied with how your body looks like? How your face looks? How your hands look? Why are you dissatisfied with yourself? You are God's workmanship. Now, I always tell people, if you're not happy with yourself, don't tell that to God, please. Don't tell it to me. But nobody wants to do that. I wonder why. Why do people want to tell God, God, you made a mess? See, God has placed something inside of you. And he said, okay, just take care of that. God is happy with you because he doesn't see your physical. He sees you as he is, as his image. And if we're going to start to see each other as God is seeing us in the spirit, there will be victory. But we always want to try to change one another. We need to come back to this blessing. Ephesians 2 thing. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, interesting, I said this also in the previous teaching. If you read Christ Jesus, you get Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ. If you read Christ Jesus, it means it's moving from the anointing to the earthly realm. But if you read Jesus Christ, it's moving from the earth into anointing, into fullness. Okay? That is just for those of you that's interested in that. But we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so we must walk in them. So God has prepared something for you to walk in. And it's something good. It's something good. Why do you keep on breaking yourself down and look at all the different negative things? We need to come to that place and realize, okay, God has made something good for me. And we need to look for that. What does the world tell us? Focus on the negative and sort that out. But God says, no, there's something good. Let's work with the good. God gave them just one warning. In all of those blessings, there was just one warning that God gave them. And he says, and I take this out of the literal English translation. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, people, it actually says the tree of the knowledge. Not the tree of knowledge, it says the tree of the knowledge. Can you read it in the original Bibles? Good and evil, you may not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, dying, you shall die. It never said that you will die instantly when you sin. It never said that the moment you eat of that tree of knowledge, you will die instantly. It says you will die. Surely you will die means die while dying. So how does that happen? We don't understand that. But do you know that you are actually really dying? Your body is really dying? Every 28 days, your body, your skin, forms a new skin. Who of you are aware of that? Who of you are afraid that I'm not going to make the next 28 days for a new skin? I'm going to be raw. Come on, are you aware of that? See, you are living, but still dying. If you broke your life, oh, no, that's not going to be worse for the rest of our life. No, it's still growing. But it died because it was taken off your body. So often we don't realize that we are actually dying while we are living to die. So we don't need to be afraid. And God said to them, dying you shall die. And often we think if we sin, it's death immediately. It's not. That is what Christ means. Although I'm dying, there is still life for me to follow. I can still do the good deeds. And because of the knowledge that we are programmed with, we think it's over. It's never going to happen. It's never going to be restored again. But if my fingernail can be restored, why can't God restore me back into a relationship with him? If my skin can change every 28 days, why can't my mind, my brain waves change every 21 days? These things happen, and we don't realize that. Somebody that's been in a car accident, has got some hit against their head. Their brain forms new brain waves. There's a doctor, a neurosurgeon in Japan, that actually works with people that have gone through traumas and heart attacks. And there's a certain way that she helps them to actually form brain waves around the part in the brain that's been dead, or that's got the damage. You can actually form new brain waves. So, you can live while you're dying, while you're sinning and dying. You can still live and fulfill the fullness. I know, that sounds very wrong in English. But we need to know that in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we are focused so much on the evil that we've never seen the life that God has given us. We need to see the good that God has placed us. If we read in a few places in the scripture, God says, it's a few people in the Bible, don't fear. We'll come to that. Who of you have ever heard of the scripture? Romans 6:23. For sin's payment is death, but God's gracious gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The payment of sin is death. Okay? So the moment we sin, what happens? We are actually killing our own spirits the moment we go into condemnation. Who's killing you? The world, yourself, or God? We are killing ourselves because of our interpretation of good and evil. See, the moment you start to walk in guilt, if you ask God for forgiveness and you walk in guilt, you are actually looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're judging yourself according to that, so you are killing yourself. Just think about it. If you are condemning yourself the whole time, how much good can you do? You struggle. You cannot think good, you cannot talk good, you cannot see good, and everybody around you is not okay. Until you get to that grace point where you say, but God has forgiven me. And the moment you get to that point, you see everything is okay. But then it says, and this is a scripture that many people sometimes ask me about, 1 Corinthians 15:55. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? How many of you have thought about that scripture? Death, where is your sting? And then you think, many people use this scripture and say, I'm not going to die. So they pray that they say, the sting of death has been taken away, so I will not die. And that's actually a lie. If you think about the Old Testament, when they died, they went into paradise. They did not go directly to heaven. So they were actually captured in the spiritual realm. But when Jesus stood up, when he died and he stood up, he opened the doors of paradise. And they say that in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 7, 500 of the dead stood up and were waiting for Jesus to be resurrected, and they appeared in the city. So death's sting, the fear of death, has been broken. We don't need to fear death anymore, because there is a heaven, there is an eternity that's waiting for us, not in captivity, but in freedom. And that is why the sting of death has been broken. It cannot, death cannot capture me anymore. I've heard this testimony of Heidi Baker. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard about Heidi Baker, but she was walking in Mozambique. Three people captured her and they said, they're going to kill you. She started to laugh. They said, why are you laughing? She said, you cannot kill me. I'm already dead. They left her alone. I'm already dead. So, all you're going to do is you're just going to give me a new address, but I'm already dead. They tell that to people in Mozambique. They will definitely flee from you. That is what she believes. I'm already dead to my thoughts, my will, my interpretation. Her approach these days in what she's doing is, everything I do is holy. Everything I say must be holy. Everything I think must be holy. Paul Walker sings the song, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. Have you ever had this thought that everything you do should actually be holy? If I touch somebody, I'm actually touching them with holiness. Why? Because I am created in blessing with blessing. I've got the Spirit of God in me, so I've got blessing upon blessing. I've got the holiness of God. So if you touch a child, you're actually rubbing them in with holiness. If you are in your boss's office, you're actually carrying holiness. And as you start to realize that there's actually a holiness on you and in you, you will definitely act towards life differently. But we don't see that. Why? Because our tree of knowledge of good and evil has not been stimulated to see the good. We only see the evil. So death has got no sting anymore. Why? Because death is not a condemnation anymore. death. And he says, I've got a new address. So, do you want to take me to a new address? Go on. I'm just changing address. My explanation about death is, birth is to be born from heaven to earth. Death is to be born from earth back into heaven. It's just a rebirth that happens. And I know it's difficult for other people. But again, death's sting has been taken out as we focus more on God. When Eve actually sinned, what did she do? Satan came against her with words. As long as she was standing against the word, there was no change in the spiritual atmosphere. And this is what's happening at the moment here in South Africa. We've prayed in the 22nd of April, and there was a big change in the spiritual world. What is Satan doing? What is the media doing? Bringing fear. And what are we doing? We are confirming it. If you are feeling and you are the anointed one, and you are falling prey to this fear action, what are you doing? You are anointing the fear and say, that's good, go on. Be careful for social media. A thing that's been sent out 5 years ago, you can receive it now for the first time, and it brings you into total fear. Because there's no date to 99.999% of those things that's going around in the social media. Be careful for that. Just one of the things, we received a voice clip yesterday about something of Ocolini that happened there. That same recording I received 2 weeks ago when it started off. Now it's going into the social media again. But in the same time, on the social media, on Facebook, it shows you how the people are cleaning up Ocolini. So which one is true now? They're burning the voicemail or they're cleaning up? See, the media is bringing words and confusion to us. And we are taking that as knowledge. And we start to function with that. What does God say? See, we need to come into God's discernment and stop working on other people's knowledge. What was the attack that Satan brought against Eve? He says, and the serpent said to the woman, dying you shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, even your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Those are the five pillars of the New Age religion today. And even today, he's still using the same five pillars. Let's have a look at them. Dying, you shall not die. Reincarnation. How many people believe that today? If you go to India, they're not even killing a baboon. It's clear there. Just in case. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, all knowing. God knows that you will have all the knowledge. Even your eyes shall be opened, the third eye. And you shall be as God, the God within. You're going to be your own God. Knowing good and evil, yin yang. How easy is it to say these things? Karma. It's a New Age word for spirit. And karma is your main God in the spirit world. That's controlling the spirit beings. How often do you hear the word karma in the religious circle? You are actually calling on a Hindu god. And what's interesting is, often the New Agers will use words and phrases that sounds good, but it's not scriptural. Forgive and forget. It's not biblical. Forgive and testify is biblical. But you cannot forget, because it happened to you, it's part of your life. God never said forgive. He says in Psalm, I will forgive and put aside as far as the east is from the west. Do you know that the east and the west can meet? It meets inside of you. This is east and this is west. You are the origin of the east and the west. And if you don't let go of it, God cannot put it away. He says, I will put it aside as far as the east and the west. He knows that I will forget. But you will not be judged. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. A missionary was testifying to a butcher. And the butcher had a very bad scar on his arm and on his hand. And this missionary was testifying to this butcher, but the butcher didn't want to hear anything. And he told him about the blood of Jesus Christ and the power and how God can actually forgive him for what he did wrong. So this man believed that he's judged. And one day, while the butcher was working with the carcasses, as he washed the blood off his arms, he saw the scar just being wiped off. And he said, I need that missionary now. What is happening? What is happening? And the missionary could actually, by his experience, tell the man, this is what God is doing to your sin. And this man accepted Jesus Christ. In 7 days, with the witch, Don Allen Jr. tells this story. He was in a meeting, long story short, but this girl wanted to kill him. She was actually controlling this, which was the four corners, was controlling this specific area. She closed down 3 churches. She was in that meeting to kill him, to cut his throat. No big deal. And at one stage, she called it up to the front, and they wanted to do deliverance, and he says he couldn't think of anything to do deliverance. All that God said is, love her. So he grabbed her by her hands and commanded her, look at me, and says, God loves you. And the moment he says God loves you, she will manifest. And he pulled her back and he pulled her up and said, look at me, God loves you. I think he did that 7 times. And she was free. And he said to God afterwards, why? Why not something else? God said, because she was taught from young that I don't love her. See, often we want to know the demon's names and we want to go through all these things. But the demonic world doesn't know that God loves them. The children out there doesn't know that God loves them. When are we going to step into that perfect love of God and say, God loves you? But if I don't understand God's love, how can I walk into that? So what happens here? The 5 pillars of the new age was saying. And Eve changed her vision. She looked at the tree and stretched her hand forth. The moment that words penetrate your mind and you look at what they say, you're actually taking it and making it part of your being. That is why it's so important that we cleanse our hearing. And what happened? After that, she ate from the tree, she gave to her husband, then Adonai Elohim. See, even though sin stepped in, covenant was not broken. Adonai Elohim. Even though you're going to sin, God was not going to change His covenant towards you. His love towards you will always stay the same. We need to come to that place that we realize that God has made a covenant with us. And then Adonai Elohim called to the man and he said to him, where are you? Then he said, your sound, I heard it in the garden and I was afraid because I am naked, I hid myself. What was the main thing that entered here? Fear. The strongest of all the demonic forces, according to this witch, is fear. It's fear. The moment their perception of good and evil changed, the moment their understanding of good and evil changed, fear stepped in. The moment you think somebody doesn't like you, you're fearful. How must I act? What must I do? How must I step forward? Fear enters and it controls everything in your life. And what is the natural thing in this fear? To withdraw. Exactly what Adam and Eve did. See, we haven't changed in our attitudes. We haven't changed in our actions. We still do the same thing today. We are still hiding ourselves from mankind and from God. Come on, just think about it. If somebody hurt you, what do? It's based on fear. Satan's strongest weapon today is fear. His strongest weapon is fear. And fear is a spirit. Now, I want to give you this testimony of this girl. What happened with her is, when she was set free, she said that they spent 7 days with her and they interrogated her. It's an amazing story. You can actually go, Don Allen wrote a book about that. There's sound on it, 7 days with the witch. Not the word seven, the number seven. 7 days with the witch. Don Allen Jr. And she said, before she got saved, she was controlling a little town of 1,000+ people, a farm community. She closed 3 churches down. She said, I see in front of quite a few Christians. But I was stronger because I did not have the Spirit. They were saved to go to heaven, but they did not have the Spirit. So often, we accept God as our Savior, but we don't allow Him to fill us with His Spirit. John 14, verse 16, 17, Jesus says, I will give you the Comforter. I will pray and I will send you the Comforter. That is known as the Spirit of Truth that the world cannot accept. They cannot receive it. Have you ever, after receiving God as your Savior, asked God, will you give me the Spirit of Truth? Will you give me the Holy Spirit? And fill me with it. She was giving this testimony and she said, she was standing in front of a woman and this woman came to her, intercessor in the church. Hear me. The prayer warrior in the church. And this prayer warrior discerned and she said to her, I know what you are doing. And this girl said, don't touch me. And this woman said, I know what you're doing. She says, what am I doing? She said, I know what you're doing, and I'm going to pray for you. And the girl said, don't touch me. And this intercessor touched this woman. And she said, this one girl didn't have the spirit. And because she didn't have the spirit, I just had the one of mine. That Sunday evening, that intercessor phoned the pastor and said, I am so afraid. I'm busy getting off my mind. That woman ended up in a mental institute. Don Allen documented that. We need to research. And the pastor said, yes, it happened. It's this woman. She's sitting there. She's so afraid. She can't get out of it. She was the intercessor, the prayer warrior, but she didn't receive the fullness of God's spirit inside of her. And as a woman said, I just gave her one of mine. God, I was sick, so I'm not going to share it. See, discernment is very good. But if you work with discernment according to knowledge towards the world, it's going to destroy you. Discernment in God brings life. And often we discern to go into a warfare. We don't discern to get into life. And that's why you say, okay, I'm just going to give you one of mine. She ended up in a mental institute being afraid of everything. That is why Satan, even today, is bringing fear into children from the womb. If you can plant fear into a child from the womb, that child cannot move into authority. Although you've got authority, the moment you stand in front of somebody and there's fear in your life, you cannot function in the authority that God has given you. So that blessing that God has made you is breaking. You are not covered in the fullness of God. And all Satan is using, he's using you through fear. He's controlling you through fear. And we are so used to fear that we don't realize we've got fear anymore. Can we stand like Holly Baker and say, I'm already dead. Kill me. I'm already dead. Or are we afraid of these things? See, Satan will do anything to bring fear into your heart. What are you functioning with today? Have you overcome this? Even the first thing that Adam and Eve realized, we are afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to lose you. I'm afraid I'm going to be one with you. I'm afraid they're not going to like me. And fear is a spirit. It enters where there's emotional pain that you haven't dealt with. And because of that knowledge of good and evil, we cannot function in authority. So do you struggle to use the knowledge that you have to say, stop that, because you're afraid? Why is there no change in our society? It's because of fear. A man sat in front of me and he says one of his friends is struggling to get a job. Because of the whole system in South Africa and the way it's done, this man is over 40, he will not get a job. And they prayed and they prayed, they were already praying for 3-4 years. And they found a big ministry. And the lady that answered said to them, you are a child of God. And if you're a child of God, you are not linked to the worldly system. Why do you bow to the worldly system? Why do you confess that you are under the worldly system? You are anointed. You are in God. So you're not linked to the worldly system. I'm going to pray with you for out of a heavenly system, a heavenly perspective within 2 weeks later. See, because of our own fear of what we think, our knowledge according to the earthly system, we are bowing to what's happening here. We are linking ourselves to the fear system. We are bowing ourselves to that. One of my friends, the children, she had born a girl, and 5-6 years ago, let's say it's 10 years ago, can't remember how long ago, they left school. They went to study. And everybody said they're going to struggle to get a job. In their last year of studies, they received jobs. Why? Because she was praying from childhood already. God, give them, open them the right job. She did not react to the worldly system. Why are we bowing to the worldly system? Because we've got the knowledge of fear. Fear has controlled us to believe us outside. And that's why, okay, tell God, okay, you said I must do this and now I'm going to just change my job. That's foolishness. But stop linking yourself to the world. An area was controlled by drug addicts, drug dealing, human trafficking. And one church took responsibility. Just one church. And they said, we're going to pray. And that's in Jakarta. We're going to pray over this area. For 1 year, every day, a different cell group was praying or that I tell all my friends physically to pray around this area, they start to pray into this area. A year later, the police came to them and said, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. We've just closed the last drug cartel laboratory. For a year, they were consistent. In China, they baptized average 500 people a Sunday. The government is not even persecuting the Christians anymore. Because as the soldiers and the policemen enters to persecute the Christians, they get saved. Come on, do you know that they don't say anything? Not one Chinese Christian will say anything negative about the government. They're not even praying for the government, they're praying for the salvation of souls. They are so soul orientated that they forget about the government. What are we doing? Where's your focus? See, we've bowed to Satan's weapon that he uses against us. What is the knowledge that you've got? What is the insight? What is the difference between facts and truth? Facts is earthly proven. Truth is Jesus Christ. That's why John 8 says, the truth will set you free. And we work on the facts that's earthly bound and that is truth. And we function on the facts. But what is God's truth? We need to come back to God's truth. God said South Africa will be saved. There will be a change in 2018. There's going to be a battle in 2017. Because the number 17 means spiritual authority. And a fight who is going to control the spiritual world. The next 2 months is going to be hectic in the spirit world. If we don't on our knees, we're going to give in. But God, people, have you ever heard? Have you ever heard within 6 weeks that 1.7 people come together for a prayer event, not for a rock show? The world is stunned. The world is stunned. We are South African say, oh, nothing happened. Come on, if my God can do that, the spiritual atmosphere will change according to my words that I am speaking. And I will speak according to the Holy Spirit and the holiness that's in me. I will not speak according to the facts that are on this earth. Why? Because God has shown me what's going to happen in the future. And I'm going to pull the future into the now so that it will change. What are you going to do? See, are you functioning with the knowledge of the earth or are you functioning with the knowledge of God? From what tree did you eat? What is the tree that's feeding you? So that is the strongest weapon is fear. And that is what Paul writes in Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall again into fear. That is what fear does. Fear brings you into a mentality of slavery. Because the moment you are in fear, what happens? You give in to anything. You cannot think for yourself. And that is exactly what they do in human trafficking. They break them down. I've listened to a human trafficker. He's got 70 people that works under him. He says if he has a child, and the child doesn't want to submit, he kills him. If he cannot break that child's spirit, that for him is the child's will. If he cannot break that child, he kills him. He says, I've probably killed 400 plus people. And he's got no remorse. Why? Because his spirit is broken. His spirit is broken. Mark Brennenkamp is in Umhlanga. They are working in one of the jails there. A few years ago, when all the people in the jail were in rebellion, I don't know if you can remember this, a few years ago, all the jails, there were chaos in all our jails. That jail was the only jail that had no rebellion in it. The ANC government wrote a letter to Mark Brennenkamp and thanking him for what they're doing in the jail. Because of the spirit that they are bringing in. It's been proven, and I'm not even going to go into all of this, that your DNA is a vibration and you are influencing the atmosphere. Your DNA, the sound in your DNA, the sound in your mind is influencing the atmosphere outside. They've proven now that it's not the atmosphere that's influencing you, it's you that's influencing the atmosphere. But if you are in fear, you are vibrating with the atmosphere, so the atmosphere is controlling you. We need to move away from the weapon of fear that Satan is using against us. If you look at this, fear, there's a few interesting scriptures. God said to Abraham, when he made the covenant with him, he says, do not fear, Abraham. Often God will come to people and say, do not fear. Joshua, don't fear. Why does God keep on saying to him, don't fear? Because the moment fear is there, you're out of God's glory. You're out of God's presence. You function in fear. And that is the reason why many churches today are not having the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit in the pulpit is the Spirit in the church. So there's more fear in the pulpit to allow God's Spirit to move. Pastor Anaconda moved with the Spirit of God very strongly in Argentina. And what he did was, they will invite him. And he will walk onto the pulpit, and he will be quiet. He will just stay quiet. He will not say a word. Sometimes up to 25 minutes. And then the power of God starts to move. Normally from the back. He will come in. In one of those meetings, the power of God came from the back. And the sound people were looking on the systems. Because there was a sound coming through. Nothing was happening on the sound system. Some of them even ran outside because it was close to an airport. And there was no airplane. And I couldn't understand it. But there was a power that came from the back. And as it came from the back, everybody was falling to the knees. Moving forward, moving forward, moving forward. Everybody was on their knees. That was the way he functioned. He never spoke one single word before the Spirit of God doesn't enter. Some pastors invited him to come and minister in their church. And the one pastor absolutely said to him, "You think I can train me how to do this?" And after the first service, he said to Anacondia, "I cannot allow this in my church. Because I don't know what to do. I'm losing control. So I'm not going to allow this." Fear gripped him so much. And he had the whole congregation in a spirit of fear. Are you influencing everything around you? Or is everything around you influencing you? If you are influenced by the circumstances, it means you're functioning with fear. Then you're a slave to the surroundings. And you're serving fear. Yes, you are safe to go to heaven. But you are not walking in authority. You're not changing it. Can you see how our knowledge of good and evil has been warped by so many things around us? And just because of fear. Job 28 verse 28 says, "For here God says to mankind, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from the evil is understanding." Proverbs 1 verse 17. It's Job 28, 28. And then Proverbs 1 verse 7. "The fear of Adonai is the beginning of knowledge." So what is the fear of Satan and the fear of God? What is the difference? The two scriptures I've just used is Job 28, 28, and the other one is Proverbs 1, verse 7. When you've got fear of Satan, it's taking away your choices. Fear of Satan always takes away your choices. It brings you into slavery. It's death. It's uncertainty. But fear of God brings freedom, brings protection, brings love, brings life. Fear of God will always draw you to Him. Fear of Satan will always let you run away from God. So if you struggle in an area in your life, is it because you are in slavery? And that means you're under the spirit of fear? So how does one overcome fear? And this is interesting. Many people go for deliverance for fear. That is good. But fear can enter again. Some people use scripture against fear. And then I believe, I don't have enough faith. Some people use faith against fear. But how do you get rid of fear? And the scripture is very clear about this. 1 John 4 verse 18. "There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears has not been made perfect in love." The only weapon against fear is perfect love. If you don't understand the love of God, perfect love, how you ever can understand the victory from fear? You will not receive perfect love from human beings. And if the scripture says God is love, that means we need love. Now I want to use that scripture that's close to the end of the Bible, and I want to go back to Genesis 1 verse 26. If God is love, and God has blown into you, who has blown life into you? Perfect love. So you are surrounded with perfect love. You are not going to get rid of fear by faith, by quotation, by anything else, except an encounter with perfect love. Perfect love has given you life. Perfect love has blown His life into you. And if you don't understand love, you will go for deliverance on fear over and over and over and over and over again. Because it must be replaced with perfect love. If you allow God, that is love, to function through you, the world cannot stand against you. I shall explain to you, this girl that just grabbed my hands and looked at her and said, God loves you. And every demon had to go. What will happen if you allow love, the spirit of love, God that is spirit, God is spirit, John 24, God is spirit. If love that is a spirit starts to fill you, instead of your own knowledge, instead of your own mind, what will happen if you start to understand that love has given you life? What will happen in your life if you just say, God, give me that encounter with life? I think it's Bob Jones. He was very close to God. He was close to Enoch experience. But one day God tell him, can I just take my grace away from you? He said, if God ever asks you that, please don't say yes. But God asked him, can I take my grace away from you? And he says, please, God. He said, God, it was a split second, but it was the darkest of dark that he ever experienced in his spirit, ever. We don't understand how much grace and how much love there is in our lives. Your circumstances sometimes feel dark, but there is still life inside of them. When are we going to allow and ask God, God, just minister to me in love? Because the moment you conquered fear, you conquered this, one of the strongest demonic forces ever. This baby little girl got saved. Her family that was 45 minutes away from her immediately knew it. She was dedicated to Satan at the age of 14. Her mom, her dad, her brothers, her nieces, her aunts, uncles, everybody was involved in Satanism. The moment she gave her heart to God, she received a phone call immediately from her mom saying, what did you do? Why? Because the chain power of demonic fear was broken. If you will allow God to minister to you in love, the chain of fear that is in your family line can be broken, and from you, the chain of love will flow out. A woman went for counseling. She was the first generation of prostitution. She already had a little girl. And they've done a deliverance on her, they've counseled her, and when she got saved, the three generations before her got out of prostitution. And they all got saved. Why? Because one said, I want to make a difference. And that broke that chain to pull everybody into the same thing. It was immediately broken. I give you testimony upon testimony upon testimony. Why? The moment when you function in love, because of your bloodline, it flows both sides. So where are you in fear? Are you a slave to fear? 1 Corinthians 13:13. I just want to confirm what I just said. That faith will not bring victory for you. 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now these three remain. Faith, hope and love. But the greatest of these is love. We want to give somebody hope. We want to give somebody faith. And we all work to have more faith. But God, it is love. If you have an encounter with love, not sexual love, if you have an encounter with love, that perfect love, you will have hope and you will have faith. Why? Because God is love. We need a love encounter so that our knowledge can come back to where Adam and Eve were before sin. Adam and Eve sinned and fear stepped in and they were afraid of God. Let me make it practical. If you have a little child and they are quiet, what is the first reaction in one bus? There's trouble. So what happens if you stop praying? There's trouble in your life. And what does the mom do when she realizes, oopsie, there's trouble? Does she say, ah, he doesn't want to listen, or she doesn't want to listen, I'm just going to leave her? Or does she go and look for that child? Why? Because she cares. Because she loves. And because she doesn't want to clean up the mess. And God is doing the same with you. The moment you stop praying, the moment you stop moving around, the moment you are afraid, what does God do? He wants to come closer. And the closer God comes to us, the more we go into hiding. But God just comes closer because he said, hi, you are in trouble. God doesn't want to clean up your mess every time. But we love it when God clean up our mess. Because then we feel good. God has hurt me again. Why are you making a mess every time? Why don't you just function in his love all the time? Why does God need to clean up the mess every time behind you? Because you go into hiding. It's not because God has moved away. Because you went into hiding. God has blown his life. His dream. God is love. The perfect love has dreamt you. perfect love has dreamt about you. He gave his perfect love inside of you, and that perfect love has blessed you. Can you accept that perfect love that has created you? You are created, you are God's workmanship. So you are perfect love's workmanship. It's love that made you. But if you don't understand that, how are we ever going to get away from anything that's bothering us? So we work with all these other things. But where is your knowledge about perfect love? Perfect love gives you freedom. Perfect love gives you wisdom. Perfect love gives you that rest. Bill Johnson always says, you have to move in God's rest. But the moment you know how to rest, God will tell you to work. Why? Because you know where he is then. Sean Bowles often ministers into the occultic world. He goes to all these fairs and stuff. And one day he was just walking around. And he had a Muslim man. And in spirit he just realized that this man is struggling with something. And he said to this man, are you willing to hear what God is saying about your problem that you've got? This man says, yes, I will, but my God is not talking to me. He says, don't worry. I'm going to long statement on his shoulder. He says, don't worry. Sean Bowles says to him, you can use my faith. You can use my faith to speak to God. The Muslim guy says, okay, I can do that. I can use your faith to speak to God. He says, oh, that's just done with me. And he said, God, how do you see this man in front of you? The Muslim guy prayed afterwards and he got in his eyes and he looked at him and says, I don't know if I heard something just because I want to hear something, or that I really heard God speaking to me. He says, no, tell me what does God say? He says, God says, I'm good. He says, the Muslim God says, I'm not good, my dad is good, but I'm not good. He says, but that is what God is telling him. Tears are running down his face. This Muslim guy didn't have any faith. Sean just said, you can use my faith. If somebody has to use the faith and love that's inside of you, what will they hear from God? Will they hear God's judgment? Because your knowledge of the judgment is upon this man, or will they hear God's heart for them? How is your faith connected to love? This man had no faith in God. He said to Sean, I cannot speak to God. And then after that, they had a few questions, and God was answering this Muslim man the whole time. And eventually this man said, Hawkeye, I have to go and rethink my faith, because my God doesn't speak to me, but your God does. And this is real. He says, I have to rethink. An encounter with love, willing to say, what I have, you can have. I can share it with you so that you can hear from God. What will happen if you share your faith with somebody else? See, that's love. That's love. But there's always hope. God always gives us hope. In John 1 verse 12 to 13, the moment we receive God, what is happening? And I want you to see this all out of the perspective of love. And I've just taken the scripture out of the Bible. But whoever did receive him, that's Jesus, those trusting in his name, Jesus Christ, to these he gave the right to become children of God. So you're a child of God. But then he says, they were born not of a bloodline, nor of human desire, nor of man's will, but of God. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you are born of love. God is perfect love. And he says, if you accept him, you are born in love. You are born of God. So that means the moment we accept Jesus Christ, it's back to the Garden of Eden. We are back in that perfect love. Our spirit functions again back in that perfect love. But our minds functions with fear. And then we have this battle inside of us. So to have victory in this life, we need to come back to perfect love. You need to come back to that perfect love and realize, God, inside of my spirit, there is love. Jesus gave his life for you and for me because of love. And we often accept what he did, but we never accept the love that gets him to the cross. We know that. But have you ever experienced that love inside of you? For you to step into that knowledge of good and evil, as God has given it us from the beginning, for us to function in that victory, we need to say, God, you are love. I want to accept love. Because God can sound so far away. But can you accept love inside of you? Can you realize, if you are a child of God, that you are actually born out of love? If you've accepted Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior, perfect love is part of your being. And if you struggle with spiritual warfare, spiritual victory, have you ever allowed perfect love to flow out? Because if you want victory, you need to function in that perfect love. But you struggle because you don't understand perfect love. You function with knowledge.